Welcome back to The Basics with E-commerce Intelligence. We're going to be talking about copyright, counterfeits, IP protection, everything brand registry, which is the brand protection programs on Amazon. So kind of to start with that, I suppose the basic of what you need is a trademark in the respective country. So for example, a UK trademark or an EU or US. And sometimes you need different trademarks for which countries you're selling in. So if you then want to go into the US from the UK, you might have to make sure you've got the US trademark too. You can then go through the brand registry protection program and get your brand registered. And then that gives you access, not only features for brand content to make your listings look better, but it also offers you that protection from other sellers possibly trying to sell your products, take your trademark, list it under different names, use it in their listings. And there is multiple ways that you can add different types of intellectual property to your then brand registered account. So on brand registry, you can link your trademarks. You can also then link design rights, copyrights, etc., to your brand registry to then have more control of your listing. So I think it's just an overall, isn't it?
I think it would be a good place to start with why brand registry exists and its kind of place within Amazon and why it's so crucial. I mean, it is pivotal. Every business we work with has to be on this program called brand registry. And it's probably a good idea to understand and kind of get to the elements of to why brand registry is crucial and what that means for all brands and sellers on Amazon. So in terms of what we do as a business, we're always making sure that, as you said, getting the trademark, getting all that information together is key, because we need to make sure that the businesses that are selling on Amazon are represented correctly. That's in a nutshell, isn't it? Everything that you do in terms of patents, designs, intellectual property, copyright, all that stuff is down to how is that brand represented on the world's largest marketplace in front of millions of people. And the complexities of it can run into quite a deep process, can't it, in terms of some of the things that we've come up against and you know, what happens. So, yeah, if we start from the elements of how what brand registry is in a really kind of core fundamental way in terms of and how that links into a brand's product listings and what that the tools, the things it gives them, I think is probably a good way to start, isn't it?
I mean, so Amazon's brand registry, like Hope explained, you know, it's there to, one, help you protect your brand in terms of how it, like you said, it's represented on Amazon, but it will also give you tools to be able to make that brand appear more professional on Amazon. You will be able to use certain programs, like we've mentioned in other podcasts, like, you know, A plus premium. You can add a lot more things onto your listings with brand tools. You'd be able to create a brand store, which is like its own little web page for that brand, where all your products in that brand are all in one place.
Effectively make your own mini version of your own website, yeah, and your own branding there, available for the customer as soon as they click on the product page.
And you also get extra levels of advertising as well that you wouldn't get if you weren't brand registered.
Yeah. So in terms of why a business would have this tool, this brand registry tool, it mainly falls down to the fundamentals of what we discussed in an earlier podcast, in terms of you could be big brands, thousands of people sell your products, they come along onto Amazon, they sell those products as well, and everyone has to create a listing. We know that. But as we've discussed before, there's only one listing for one barcode on Amazon. One barcode on Amazon creates that product's page effectively, and only one person can effectively control that listing, even though we've said before, haven't we, that other sellers can come on, they all type in their listing. Amazon states that it takes the most, what it calls the most relevant contributions to changing everything. So that could be a range of different bullet points, different titles, different prices, until someone comes along and says, I am the brand owner for this specific brand on Amazon. And in theory, Amazon should say, great, we recognize you. This is your listing. You control this listing. That's the real core thing, isn't it? So making sure that, you know, if we take Sony as an example, 50 sellers may be selling Sony headphones, but Sony wants to make sure that they are controlling the images, controlling the content, the assets, the text, everything that goes into that, the video, the A-plus content, all that nice sort of web standard content, the storefront. And they don't want, you know, Dave's headphones from Kettering coming along and saying, well, these earphones are actually this size, this way. This is my image of me wearing them. Don't I look great walking down the street with them? Because obviously Sony pay millions for qualitative branding, marketing, you know, everything is probably done to a psychological degree of, you know, quite heavy. So that's what Brand Registry is. Brand Registry is a tool that plugs in, doesn't it, right into that brand, allows them to connect to that product listing, and Amazon recognizes that business as a brand.
But it's not completely foolproof. There are still problems with it, which will come into, like, people counterfeiting and copying the product. And that can be if for various reasons, but for example, if you didn't have Brand Registry and somebody else has copied the, you know, done the listing first or done it wrong, or you are on Amazon and they do copy it regardless and it's not appearing right, Amazon have another program within Brand Registry which you can apply for, which is called Transparency. And this is a program they started about a year ago, possibly a little bit longer. And it essentially was created to stop that exact problem of counterfeiting, which, so you can apply if you have Brand Registry, you follow the process Hope mentioned, you're in your Brand Registry account, you can apply through for Transparency, which is essentially you are purchasing QR codes from Amazon, similar to how you would purchase GS1 codes from GS1.
That's the barcodes.
And that's the barcodes, yeah. But this QR code is unique to that ASIN, which is the identification number for that product listing on Amazon. And you'll get a QR code, you'll put it on your product listing, and nobody else can sell that product without that QR code. And it is forever within that Amazon Transparency program. And there are different caveats to it as well, depending on where you sell it. If you're doing what's called FBA, so you're sending it into Amazon, or if you're selling it yourself, you still need to have that QR code. And this essentially stops anybody else, not so much from listing it, but definitely from being able to sell it. They won't be able to sell it without this QR code. And this is something that Amazon developed. So there are tools that they have added into the Brand Registry program to help with these problems, which they know exist. And it's not that these problems aren't, you know, linked solely to Amazon. Counterfeiting happens on all over the place. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's just one program that lies within its Brand Registry program to be able to help you with that.
It might be worth mentioning this point as well, especially in the UK, that the CMA, so the Competition and Markets Association, they will look at people who can and cannot sell. And it is worth mentioning that Brand Registry, and a common misconception about Brand Registry is it will just stop people from selling your product, which isn't always the case. So Transparency has its own remits, and there is also another program that stops counterfeiting, but other people have the right to sell your products on Amazon. It's just like they would on the retail space, as long as they are legitimate products. And there are a few other caveats as well, but there are protections that are in place for brands to make sure that the correct people are selling it at the right, you know, that in the right setup, they're selling a correct item to the right consumer, and that's one of the sort of tools, isn't it, in the Brand Registry arsenal that is.
It's interesting. We've taken on new clients as well. When we the kind of part of our process is we do a background check on the listings on how they look, you know, as part of what we're doing when we're looking to onboard them. It's amazing. I'd say probably 15 to 20% of clients we've taken on weren't even aware other people were selling their products and to what level and where those products are being sold, and that it was even a thing. And again, you know, we've had to show them, say, are you aware that somebody's actually selling this product into what's called Amazon Vendor, where they're someone's selling it into Amazon themselves? And again, they weren't aware of it. And we show them how you can spot that and identify that on the product listing. But it's surprising how many don't, you know, well, there'll be lots of businesses out there that probably aren't even aware that that's even happening to their own listing.
Be good to kind of go into some of the work that we've done with clients on that? Because you've done an awful lot, especially Hope. Hope's probably the most knowledgeable in this area, you know, so, you know, because of some of the work that you've done with some of the customers. And definitely worth talking about the toy brand that we've worked with and the kind of large sportswear brand we've worked with, because they're kind of two different
issues,
types of issues, but they both fall quite heavily into IP. And
I mean, the two problems we face, if we start with the toy company, so it's a large retailer of toys in the UK, and the problem that they really faced was multiple listings of the same product, technically, and double packs, triple packs, however, 8 times the packs, whatever.
And why was that as well? Explain why they existed.
So, especially when they're listed years ago, not necessarily now, you would need a legitimate barcode. And if you were going to link it to brand registry, obviously, as we've discussed kind of over this podcast series, why that isn't necessarily applicable at this point in time anymore. But because it had built up over years and years, it was kind of like an ongoing problem that then needed resolving. And the reason that they do it is because other sellers then see the opportunity to rank well and almost have a competitive listing, even of the same product. But because it then means they don't have to fight for the buy box with the actual seller, they get their own listing, they get the buy box, they can build reviews, they can rank well, they can even sometimes rank completely next to the legitimate product and divert traffic away. And that's what a lot of sellers ended up doing. And when they came to us, we almost had to compile a list of all of these duplicate ASINs, who had sold on them. And the main benefit of brand registry for this case was because they were using the packaging, the product packaging, the image, the main image of the genuine item, brand registry, there is an immediate violation process where you can report this product via ASIN, which is, as we've said, the Amazon identifier. All of the sellers on it, or even just some sellers, depending on whether it's, yes, this is the genuine item, but some of the sellers are not legitimate, they're selling counterfeits, mm-hmm. or you can remove the entire ASIN as a whole to say it's a duplicate and they're using our intellectual property. And I think we did that over several months and built up a relationship with different sellers to say, look, we're going to be moving across to the correct ASIN. You need to move across. If you don't move across in time, we're going to submit the violations. And we did. And I think we got it condensed down to all bar that one ASIN, and we removed all the duplicates. And that's only possible because of brand registry. We would have never been able to remove or report or get rid of all those listings. And it meant that it was a fair competition then between all of the sellers, which is exactly what the brand wanted. They wanted one listing. They wanted all of the traffic on that listing because they sold on it too. So it meant that they were then gaining back sales. And we've done that for two toy brands now in different perspectives, as different IP issues. But the reason it was so key was because it was a very big seller on Amazon. Yeah. It wasn't just a small product, which then it's kind of, you could maybe take it with a pinch of salt. Obviously still protect the brand with the IP, but it was a really large impact to have all of these sellers collated on one listing and get rid of the rest.
It was a counterfeit children's toy as well, which was crucial, because when we started buying the fakes, didn't we? Because then we went back to Amazon and said,
exactly,
this is a fake product, and we could show it. And we found there was like loose parts in there, and
these were
toys
certified
for children, three plus. So it was also a bit of a kind of a personal thing, because they were cheap products that were coming in, and these were not UKCA approved, which is the kind of regulation for toy safety and things. So there was a bit of a personal thing in there as well, and that was just pivotal to get brand registry to prove that we don't want not only are these counterfeit products damaging to our clients' bottom line, they're also hazardous to children. There was loose tiny parts in there that could have choked. There was loads of stuff. Absolutely, yeah.
So that was via trademark removals via brand registry, which we also then did counterfeiting removals. There's four off the top of my head that you can remove for patent, trademark, copyright, and counterfeiting. The other client that we worked with, which was a very large sportswear brand, they had when they created the product, quite an innovative idea.
Yeah,
that's the word. Quite new, and it was. It was different to the market, and they got a design right for it, and they held that in the UK which is right. Glad they did, because they had, in the end, I think we ended up doing 200 removals of basically copy products on Amazon. So they weren't selling on their listing. So the genuine listing that we had created, they weren't selling on there, but because their design was popular and it sold well, other brands or startup brands started to create their own products with their own barcodes and their own ASINs. And it was the same product, could have been sourced from the same manufacturer for all we know. But because this client had this IP protection from the UK IPO of their design, it meant that we could remove most of these copies. Now, there were some listings that we weren't able to remove, and that was because they had built a relationship with Amazon. They probably had their own design right of some sort with the UK IPO, because unless it's changed from the last time we did it, I think you have to have 7 different points from a product to then design right a different product. And so, yes, technically some of them looked very, very similar, but because they had their own IP, we couldn't necessarily remove it. But the competition that we had, maybe 4 or 5 products, including this brand that we were working with, compared to having 200 cheaper, maybe, you know, 1 or 2 review alternatives, it just meant that we had really concentrated sales, and that improved their own sales velocity, their own ranking. They were, I think, #1 bestseller in sports accessories at one point. And that was all down to controlling other products, getting them removed, because we had the IP brand registry task, I suppose, that we were just always ongoing. I would look on a weekly basis, looking for new duplicates, which ones had appealed the violation that I'd reported, and then I could re-report them. It was very ongoing, and I mean, it worked fantastically and did the job of exactly what it needed to do. But I think those are very unique situations with intellectual property where you may not think that that might be a problem for you on Amazon, but that's why it's so key. So I know we've talked a lot about having brand registry and the trademark, but also having design rights for unique products is also a really key aspect on Amazon, especially if you're launching a new niche product to Amazon. That obviously, I know we mentioned earlier that it can be sometimes a little bit difficult to launch a newer style product on Amazon that is maybe not necessarily a saturated market, it's very new, but especially if it is new, I do think a design right is key. A patent is also available, but it takes a lot longer to get a patent. It's 6 years, lot more expensive. And a design right has, especially for brand registry control, has about enough protection and a good level of protection to protect. Exactly. And it's quicker and cheaper. So
we should always put a caveat in there as well. Say, always have a chat with an IP solicitor, yes, lawyer, 100%. About anything a bit further outside of the Amazon remit as well.
Yeah, we're good at doing those removals, but in terms of getting that intellectual property sorted, that is not something we deal with.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is by far one of the most complex areas that we work in.
Yeah, but a crucial one.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, obviously we don't want to, you know, put people off, because it can happen on any site anywhere, but you know, it is definitely one of the most complicated aspects of our work in terms of, you know, the cases that we would have to build and the time it can take. You know, we can sometimes get certain aspects of this resolved in days or weeks, sometimes it takes months, and it really depends who you also get at the other end of
exactly,
it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, when you're building these cases with brand reg support, as it's called, it's not too dissimilar to Amazon seller support. So you're also working with Amazon on it at the same time. So yeah, it can be very, very complicated at times.
And again, to mention what we were talking about before in terms of our experience, because we've done this so many times now with so many brands, mm-hmm. we're able to kind of really pivot off what works, what doesn't work. I mean,
use examples as we can use previous absolutely. Examples with them and say, you have done this, we know you can do this, you did it here.
Exactly. And sometimes that people might come to a bit of a, and that happens to some of our customers, they'll come to a bit of a stopping block and go, I can't get this any further forward until they come and speak to us.
But as you said, it's not necessarily to scare you away that, oh, this is going to happen to every brand. These are very unique situations. Yeah. They're very small percentage of clients have this big of a level of an IP problem. Mm. But I think the point to get across is the reason it's so critical is because it could happen to anyone. You don't know, but it's a very small chance. But if it does happen to you, you're better off being covered than having to pay the price later. And so,
and there's probably more chance of it happening if you are a known brand and you haven't yet got on Amazon or you're on brand registry to protect yourself, because you might find further down the line that some of these issues may exist.
Yeah, and the tools are there within Amazon to help you resolve it.
Yeah, and especially as you were talking about transparency, another tool that Amazon have, what I was saying about the violation process, that has to go through an approval process with Brand Registry. They have to check it, whether it's algorithmic or whether it's a manual check, it gets checked. And there is a Project Zero brand control tool that you can use that... once you've gotten over, I think it's 90% acceptance rate for your IP violations, you can then go straight onto Project Zero, which then means you have a direct removal. So you don't have to go through that approval process.
Get enough successful complaints to Amazon, say, these people are counterfeiting my item. If Amazon agree to it in over 90% of the cases, you get onto Project Zero, which effectively tells people they cannot sell your
brand. It might be a little bit higher. It might be 95, but it's definitely, there is a percentage threshold that you have to hit to be able to enroll in that. And there's other benefits to all these. I mean, transparency, it's not just about brand control and who's selling that item. We've also, you get a transparency rep, which then means you have
in
access.
Reasons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
we've put clients with Brand Registry on transparency purely because they will then get a rep who will then be able to fix catalog problems or other basic things quicker than somebody else could. So
I don't think there's any other way on Seller Central to almost get a rep, is there? To have a real person contact.
Not for brand related issues, no.
That's why it's key.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed that episode, The Basics with E-commerce Intelligence, please hit that like and subscribe button. Remember to turn on the bell notification icon to be kept up to date with our latest releases.